If you've got a Twitter account, attended a conference like Java 1, participated in a software development survey, or even just read the results of one, you'd know who Oliver White is. He's a bit of a fixture in the industry, and he's got name recognition. The thing is, though, he's actually not a software architect. He's not a software developer. He's a marketing guy. And normally, marketing guys don't have much cred in the industry. But Oliver does. Why? Not exactly sure, but perhaps it has something to do with the fact that he keeps marketing cool tools. We usually speak with Oliver fairly regularly, but we actually haven't been able to catch up with him in a while. Since we last spoke with him, he actually made a switch to TypeSafe. So one of the first things we wanted to ask him was, why TypeSafe, and what is it about what TypeSafe is doing with the Scala language that he thought was so compelling?
I was really compelled by TypeSafe's vision when I first started to look into the company and kind of seeing what they were all about. I mean, this is really a kind of revolutionary sort of approach to system architecture, to the breaking down the components of what you need your system to be able to access the access the architectures that are available to us today with modern web and IoT and mobile stuff. I mean, these days you can rent a terabyte of in-memory RAM from Amazon for $20,000. I think is kind of what I heard lately, and it brings into the spotlight, how are people building systems for realities like this where everything is distributed across cloud infrastructures and latency becomes, down into the milliseconds, and that's where competitive advantage is, and being able to access data in a streaming sort of way, having what we're calling data in motion compared to data in rest, which is what the entire data ecosystem has been built off of over the last decade. So when I saw what TypeSafe was doing and the kind of core technologies that were powering it all, I just got excited looking at, holy crap, like look at what these people are already building with this stuff. And it's definitely a treat to be able to look at an entire platform, an enablement platform for building reactive systems rather than a single tool in the entire chain.
So how is developing reactive systems different to the way that enterprise architectures and applications were designed using a traditional approach or even just an agile approach?
From at the face of it, it seems like these are kind of comparable things, but reactive programming is a very kind of different approach, which is more about kind of coding with a very iterative process and being able to kind of generate the image of what you're doing as quickly as possible to confirm whether there's mistakes in the code or something going wrong. When we talk about reactive systems, we actually pull the definition from the Reactive Manifesto, which is reactivemanifesto.org if you want to check it out. I think something like over 12,000 people have kind of signed it, saying this is something that they support. And the Reactive Manifesto defines reactive systems as having four tenets. Starting at the bottom, we have this message-driven approach, which leads to a system that is elastic and resilient, the other two tenets. And at the end of which, the business value is a consistently responsive system. So message-driven, elastic, resilient, and responsive. So I like the fact that there's a very clearly defined, especially as a marketing guy who's always learning, I love the fact that there's a very clearly defined set of characteristics that we base our technologies on.
So how does a message-driven approach change the way that enterprise architectures are designed and developed?
If we want to look at the message-driven approach, it refers to asynchronous, non-blocking, concurrent processing across threads, cores, JVMs, nodes, clusters, data centers, you name it. In the case of Reactive Platform, we achieve this using Akka, which our CTO, Jonas Bonaire, is the creator of. And through the actor system with hierarchies and supervision, we have this incredibly a highly asynchronous approach to messaging, in which you know things like strong consistency or eventual consistency can be implemented. And this leads to an extremely resilient system form.
Now, actors are often touted as an important part of creating resilient systems. What is the role of an actor, and what are the benefits that a software development team can get out of using actors in their systems?
Actors are highly isolated and automated, which means that they will be sent across all resources in the system, and with supervision in place, when something goes wrong, it can be identified, contained, isolated, and replicated somewhere else. So there's not this tightly coupled dependency on messaging, which I think is where things really are achieved at an incredibly nice rate with actors in Akka.
So once you've put all the effort into creating this reactive system, what is the final benefit? What is the final payoff of this message-driven system that uses actors?
So when you have this highly resilient message-driven approach, this enables you to scale in and out massively using concurrency, using node replication, and use all of your system resources in an efficient way. This also includes scaling back in when these resources are no longer needed. It's not about throwing servers at it. It's more about dynamically scaling according to, you know, things like, adaptive or predictive traffic analysis. And when you put all these things together, what you have is a consistently responsive system that stays up, is understanding that failures happen and knows what to do when they do occur, and will be available to users no matter what bad stuff's happening to it.
Okay, you've convinced me. I want all of my agile money back. I want to go reactive. How do I do it?
Well, this actually brings us over to the survey that I sent you, Going Reactive 2016. And let's see, I'm looking at the full report. On page 18, we actually asked these 3,060 respondents, you know, if you had to go reactive today, how would you approach it? And there was a spread across four replies, but 41% suggested that, or rather replied that they would refactor their legacy system module by module. And usually the approach in that case is to find the most crucial mission-critical systems and see how you can start to optimize or begin to somewhat separate the functionality onto, into a prototype phase and begin building it that way. So this was the most popular choice of approach. Number two and number three are neck and neck, so they're almost the same. Number two was completely rewrite a new project. So, you know, start over, greenfield it, and try to achieve what your existing system is doing. This is obviously a little less popular than refactoring, you know, specific modules with a, you know, contained approach. Number three was shave the existing stack and start by replacing bottlenecks and APIs. And the final choice was, with only 12%, was create a new front end and integrate it with a legacy back end. We'd actually seen that a few times at TypeSafe, particularly, I believe, Walmart. Our customer Walmart was had a lot of very, very, you know, a very, let's say, a broad spectrum of legacy systems that were crucial and could not be replaced. And what they did was take a reactive approach by using TypeSafe play framework to get that done. And I believe that this was with Java as well.
So we all know that TypeSafe is the language of Scala and Akka. If organizations want to go reactive, do they have to pick up a peripheral JVM language like Scala? Do they have to shift to something like Akka? Or is it something that they can do within the confines of their own enterprise software stack?
Historically, TypeSafe has been very Scala intensive, and for good reason. We believe that this is the best JVM language to use. However, we recognize that Java is an incredibly pertinent language that has broad enterprise adoption that simply can't be ignored. And with Java 8, which we actually see neck and neck in among our survey respondents. So in our survey, we actually saw Scala and Java 8 in use more together than either one of them separately. So, you know, TypeSafe, reactive platform is a JVM platform. We have Java 8 APIs, we have Scala APIs. The language itself doesn't matter to us. And we're happy to see that Java 8 and JDK 9 are starting to, increase their level of kind of functional features that you would find in languages like Scala and Clojure and so on. So for us, we want to support the entire JVM, and considering the size of the audience using Java that we feel like would have a great time building distributed reactive applications with our stuff, Java developers are a major focus for us. And rather, to your point about do they need to learn anything new? Absolutely not.
So given all the respondents that contributed to it and all of the work that went into putting it together, what were your final conclusions from the reactive survey that had 3,000 respondents to it?
So the survey that we did, it was really about, you know, what are the opinions and trends that we're seeing with reactive system adoption now? And a couple interesting things arose. One of which is that when we asked these respondents how did they see the reactive system adoption going in the future, we asked about the most successful enterprises versus their own organization, just to kind of give a little perspective. So one of the interesting findings is that 80% of these respondents believe that reactive systems will be adopted by most successful enterprises by 2018. So let's see, it's December 18th, 2015. So in the next 2 years plus, a little bit, 80% of these respondents believe that most successful enterprises will have adopted reactive systems.
It's really not that difficult to envision a future where the most successful applications are deployed onto architectures that rely heavily on messaging and microservices. If you want to learn more about creating reactive systems, check out the Reactive Manifesto, reactivemanifesto.org. You can learn more about TypeSafe at typesafe.com. And if you want to learn more about Oliver White, you can follow him on Twitter, @TheOatTown.